ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host today. And actually, I'm your host every day. I said that like today's unusual. But welcome to the show. Before we get started, if you'd like to interact with the show live, you can go to the Adventures in Truth Facebook page. And there you can enter comments and you can ask questions and I'll get them live while I'm on the show and I will respond to them. If you're enjoying the show, if you've seen the show, if you like the show, please subscribe, please share, please like. If you're on YouTube, please ring the bell. If you're on Facebook, please subscribe and like our page, Adventures in Truth or Science of Transformation. And we appreciate your support. Thank you. As you can see, I'm still celebrating. It has been a month since the release of my book. Very excited about how it's doing and very excited about all of you that have had a chance to grab the book and hopefully you're reading it. And I would ask you to please make sure you go to wherever you bought the book and leave a review for me. Those reviews help a lot. We literally just started our ad campaigns in Amazon. So your reviews mean a lot to getting exposure and for people being able to find and see the book. So I appreciate that in advance. For those of you who have, I can't say enough about the amazing, amazing feedback I've gotten about my book, the amazing reviews that have come through that are about what this book is about, which is really helping people to shift from a fear-based experience to an opportunity-based experience. It's ultimately about changing your relationship with fear. And changing your relationship with fear has ridiculous amount of benefits. The biggest one being is that, in my perspective, when you're in fear, you're very limited in your scope, right? You're looking through the telescope and there's a very limited and you have to kind of look around to see things and it just sort of dumbs down your world. And what changing your relationship with fear does is it opens everything up. It opens you up to your potential and to opportunity that you would not be available to in that fear-based experience. And again, this is all vibrational, guys. This isn't about judgment. This isn't about bad, right, and wrong. This is simply about how energy works, how it works for us and how it works for everybody. So I encourage you, www.adventuresintruth.com is where you can go to buy the book. I'll also put the links up in the comments so that if you want to go directly to Barnes & Noble or Amazon or Kindle, you can do that to order your copy. So for today's show, it is a conversation with Moshe, and he's going to be here shortly. We're going to go ahead and get started with our meditation today, our conversation with Moshe. We're going to be looking at the fact that we just crossed we're crossing a threshold here, and it's stirring up lots of feelings. It's stirring up lots of stuff. I read an interesting piece this morning about this isn't obviously the end. This is just a new starting point from which we have to kind of dive in and see how we feel about what's going forward and how we're going to engage it. So what we're going to do now, if you guys can bear with me, we will go ahead and do our moment of focus, which is always good. And then as soon as the focus is done, we'll come back. Moshe will be with us and we're going to dive into this powerful topic. Pardon me while I close my door. I forget that sometimes, and it leaves a little messiness on the screen. So anyway, again, welcome, and we'll be right back right after this. Mm-hmm. I am discombobulated today, that's for sure. Hi, welcome back. Let's take a moment to focus. We're going to focus today on our topic. Our topic with the conversation with Moshe is the election is here, now what? So we've got all this energy built up. We've got all this intensity going on. What are we going to do with this energy now? What are we going to do moving forward, regardless of the outcome? How do we now step differently than we've been stepping before, or don't we step differently anymore? So this is going to be I think it's going to be a little challenging conversation. I think it's going to be a little triggering here and there. I know for myself, I'm wrestling a little, but we're going to have a great conversation, and we're going to get to talk about all of that and just sort of put it on the table and make some different decisions and potentially really continue to make this time in this time of change something that's a powerful impact for all of us in a positive way. So to begin, I love to bring us into focus before we get started on a topic because it allows us all to bring our energies together. And then in bringing our energies together, we can then utilize each other's energies to make even greater outcomes and dive into even more clarity. Because the more of us that come together in like energy, the stronger that field is and the deeper we can go in it. So the first thing I want you to do is just take a moment and wherever you are, let your feet feel the floor and feel yourself present in this moment, just relaxing your body, bringing your awareness to your consciousness, meaning I want you to feel into what you are being aware of. Let's let your eyes close and begin to just feel into your own field. Where is your attention? What are you noticing? What are you aware of? What is your mind looping on? Don't do anything about any of it. Just become aware of it. That's part of being conscious, is just being aware, knowing how you are feeling and responding and experiencing, being conscious of that. And now as you feel into where your consciousness is focused, maybe it's hearing dogs bark, maybe it's in a loop in your mind about work or the election, maybe it's an ache in your body, maybe it's a loved one struggling, maybe it's all kinds of different things that can take our attention, can take our focus. I want you to bring all of your energy, all of your consciousness back to you for this moment. It's okay. All of that will be there. All of that will continue to unfold. We are finding a place of calm and centered space for you in this moment. So allowing yourself now that you've felt into your consciousness, you're aware of where it is and what it's out there touching and engaging. I want you to now consciously rein that consciousness in. I want you to bring it into the inside of your body. I want you to consciously, gently, easily, just begin to pull your awareness and your consciousness out of the outside world. Pull it into the inside world. Gently feel that feeling as you bring all of that awareness into your chest. Feel into that. I want you to become aware of the inside of your body, the inside of your experience. Continuing to pull all of that awareness into the internal experience. And now let that consciousness kind of roam around inside your body, inside of your field. Keep it inside of your body as much as you can. Just gently allowing that consciousness to flow. Experiencing the inside of your head, the inside of your brain, the inside of your neck and shoulders, all of that musculature, all of those ligaments and tendons and blood vessels and muscles and bones. Be aware of all of that going on, all of that miraculousness happening inside your body. And let that awareness travel through your body completely, all the way through your body. Become aware of what you're experiencing on the inside. What do you notice? If there's any sense of discomfort, simply bring your awareness there and breathe into it. Just breathe. You don't have to fight with it. You don't have to argue with it. You don't have to even understand it necessarily. Just breathe the energy into it. Let it expand and let it dissipate. And now we're going to bring all of that conscious focus to our breath. Focus all of your awareness into your breath. We're going to do a counted breath process, a quick one. We're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to rest at the top full. We're going to exhale from the mouth to a count of six. We want to purge all that old energy and air that's inside and replace it with a new vital force. That is what your breath is. It is the foundation of your life experience. That breath is chi. It is prana. It is life force. So every time you breathe, you're breathing in new energy, new vitality. Every time you exhale, you purge old energy, old stale energy that you don't need anymore. And if you're in an unattached place, that's an easy process. So we're going to start with an inhale, inhaling through the nose to a count of four. Inhale, two, three, four. We're at the top. We're full. We're relaxed. And now we're going to purge and release. Exhale from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, as we rest at the bottom in emptiness, resting in emptiness. And we engage the lungs again and inhale. Two, three, filling all the way. Four, feeling that fullness, enjoying the richness and the fullness, and then releasing it out of the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, resting in the void, resting in the quiet. Engage the lungs. Inhale, fill 360 degrees. Feel that air fill you all the way as you reach to four. Relaxing into that fullness. Feeling full and vibrant and then releasing. Purging all the old energy and air. Three, four, five, six, and now rest in the void. Be comfortable in the emptiness, just as comfortable as you are in the fullness. And continue the breath pattern. Inhale again. Two, three, four. Resting at the top and holding, and continue on your own as you exhale. Continue to feel and be aware of how the breath moves in your body. How does it feel in your body? With each cycle of breath, reach for a little more air, a little more expansion, and a little more purge. Just a little each time to expand in both directions. Awesome. And from that very deep place, I want you to take in these words. Just let them wash over you. If they resonate, let them resonate. If they don't, let them move through. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized, and from that I create, expand, and engage. I am. And feel the breath expand in you as you let that run through you. Beautiful. That beautiful, quiet place, that settled, peaceful place. And now, as you brought your consciousness into your body, allow yourself now to let your consciousness move and expand once again outside of the physical body. Just gently let it reach into the world. Don't push it. Don't shove it. Just be with it. And allow yourself to become aware of the space and the room that you're in again. And bring yourself completely present to this moment. And welcome to the show, my friend Moshe.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Moshe. How are you?
I'm here.
That's funny, because that's about how I feel. I'm here. So we were chatting briefly. Actually, it took us a couple days, but we we decided to land on a universal topic that we're both promoting. If you haven't met Moshe Engelberg here, author of The Amari Wave, See, I have it right here. It's not exciting. Get yourself a copy of that book. But he's focused from a business perspective. I'm focused from the individual perspective, and yet we're going to be talking about the same message about what do we do now? Here we are, all this craziness and lunacy and buildup, and so many feelings, so much stuff, kind of just all about this. I have been personally in a very bizarre place yesterday. I was fortunate because we got to get out of town for a few days. So I was disconnected for the 5 days running up to the election, which couldn't have been a better thing for me to not deal with any of it. And then yesterday getting involved and just sort of bleeping in and bleeping out to see where things were at and what was going on. And each time just feeling gross, like, ugh, I just couldn't, I you know, just interesting. So bring it on, Moshe. Let's start with where you are, and then we'll go from there, and we'll evolve this conversation.
Yes, yes. Here I am.
Here we are.
And I was writing my Amari Wave Wednesday newsletter yesterday before the election, and basically my message was about how to not be attached to the outcomes of something you care about so much. Mm. And it's really difficult. I find it very difficult. Yes. In our culture, we tend to reward being attached to outcomes. We achieve this, we got that. And I become a big advocate of not doing that because it takes us out of the flow, out of the moment. It moves our energy out of now to something else. And so I wrote that piece and gave some suggestions and then kind of fell down when it came to practicing it.
I was having that conversation with myself in the shower this morning. I tuned in briefly last night just before I went to bed to see what the state of the state was, and having all of these really confusing feelings and emotions and ideas about this process. I think the biggest one for me is not understanding humanity. Yeah. literally sitting and going, I don't know how to process this. And we don't know if there's no outcome at this point. There is just process. And, you know, is it likely? I don't know. And I'm not even going to play a game of what if. I'm in confusion. I'm in sadness. And part of me says, Jim, don't go there. Going there, being in confusion or sadness, is going into the energy as it exists, not the energy as you want to create it, or not the energy that you want to participate in. And then I go, yeah, but this is, I live here. I am a participating member of this country. Does it matter? I don't know. I have for years said, in my lifetime up until Trump, I never really noticed a difference. I mean, it was nice when Obama was president. There was a much warmer feeling about the experience. You know, when Bush was president, I mean, you know, for me, he was just a dumb guy. I mean, I didn't have a big deal about it one way or the other. When the election was over and Bush had won that election, I didn't have the feelings I have now. And that concerns me, because I've engaged, but I was really clear that there wasn't much that political world did that had much impact on the choices I made in my life. And now that seems different. And I'm trying to decide if that's because of the narrative that's being driven by that consciousness that I've chosen to participate in, or if there is a reality to it that I'm beginning to adjust to.
I know the answer.
Yay.
Well, and it's front and center to who you are. To me, it's all about energy. It's not about politics.
No.
Like the way you described Obama and Bush, it was not a political statement. It was an energetic one. Yeah. One, you felt more uplifted. The other was more, it just doesn't feel as good. But it wasn't a huge deal either way. I think with Trump, there's so much fear-based energy that comes across as arrogance and a lot of deceit and so on. But the energy of it is fear. And I think that's what's led to so much divisiveness in this country, more so than I remember, or more explicit than ever, and permission to do hate crimes and a lot of other things. It's kind of feeding fear. That happened, and he gave Trump gave a short talk speech last night. I didn't hear it, but I read about it. And basically,
claiming he won. Yeah.
Yeah, claiming he won, saying, stop counting votes in states I'm losing, keep counting votes in states I'm winning, something to that effect. And the whole election was rigged. But it's kind of putting fuel on fire and saying people be upset, don't trust, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. So I think it's that the thing that you feel, I imagine, that I think most of the country, most of the world feels, is this immersion and fear, this energy of fear. And it's so pervasive, we don't even know it. It doesn't feel normal, but it feels far too familiar.
Yeah, I think you and I talked about this briefly, but I watched, there was a really wonderful documentary from the guy who was the photographer, the presidential photographer, Through My Eyes, I think, or The Way I See It, The Way I See It. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary documentary from the guy who was in the corner of the room for everything, because that's what the presidential photographer does. He's in the space of the president all the time and is taking these candid moments of the experience of the president. And this guy worked for Reagan and worked for Obama for 8 years. So he did Republican, he did Democrat. But the thing that was striking to me about watching that documentary, and I went and watched it again because of the feeling that came through that experience. The documentary was just image after image after image after image after, I mean, hundreds of thousands of images of a president who engaged people, of a president who expressed love, of a president who expressed caring, who expressed compassion, who expressed the deepest human experiences. And yeah, okay, he was political. Yes, he was the president. Yes, he was a political being, but his presence in the world is still felt in a very profound way. Even as he shows up on TV screens now, it touches us because he touched us. I don't care what you think about what he did. He as a human being showed up, and maybe he didn't make all the best decisions, but I think he always strove to make the best decisions. I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel that sense of connectedness. That was where my sadness really kicked in, I think, because I really felt the absence of humanity in what we've been living the last 4 years, and that we've normalized that experience of lack of humanity. And again, I don't care what your politics are. This is about, I've said this, I had this struggle with, and I'm going to be honest about this, I've had this struggle with my mother. And I don't know what to do about it, because she creates in her own mind this image of this person who I go, and I don't care what his policies are, because if he's a shitty human being, his policies don't matter. To me, don't matter. I don't care if I make $5 extra a month because of that asshole. I don't like the energy. And so it's a really, the conundrum in this in the end for me is this human being has demonstrated repeatedly a horrible, horrible side of humanness. And yet there is a large majority of people that support that energy. I don't comprehend that. I don't care about the politics. Take all the politics off the table. If there's no politics on the table and the human beings are standing there, one is an abomination. The other isn't great by any stretch. But that's where I'm struggling with the humanity of it is how do human beings, how does the person who's sitting in the seat next to me have such a different experience of the human experience that lack of compassion and love and engagement and cooperation and connection are acceptable forms of engagement? I'm going to stop because I'm winding up. But it's really, I've distilled it to that point. Like, how do you justify inhumanity for human beings? How do you do that?
Well,
sorry. If you perceive what I'm saying is to be incorrect or over the top, please come back at me because I've not been able to have that conversation anywhere. The struggle with my mom is simply, how do I know you love me and I know I love you, but in what world is that human being okay with you? In what world is it okay that he can do and say and be who he is and you go, good for you.
Right.
Oh, you used a dirty word. Don't use a dirty word. Don't use the dirty word. You can do that without the dirty word. It's not about the fucking dirty word. It's right. About the dirty energy.
Yeah. How do you really feel?
How do I really feel? Well, there you go. Let's be honest. I'm being honest, people. Putting it on the table because I think we all have some version. I think we all have some piece of this that we need to talk about. And I would, if you have more to add or a different perspective, please do. We're getting a lot of Lauren there jumping on today saying, can we truly blame the lack of humanity in the country on the leader of our country? What about the responsibility of the population? Beautifully said, Lauren. Thank you for that. And I agree with you. That's part of the dilemma for me, really. That distills the dilemma. It isn't that one person. It is that all of those people, and I'm saying those people, and that sucks. Because what is those people? They're my other human beings. They're my other people on this planet. They are the people I'm here with. And even naturally, it goes to those people because it's on the other side of what I believe is love. So something's not right in this picture for me, obviously.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I do have a few thoughts on this.
Yes, I'm going to shut up now. Thank you.
Well, and I like Lauren's comment about it's not just the individual. It's we have a choice.
Yes, we do.
We're exercising that choice. And one of the questions is, how can people have, as you put it, how can people have such a different experience of the same thing and take it in so differently? So if you think, and I've had a similar experience to you, Jim, of trying to hear, what the hell is going on? How can people who I respect and are smart and ethical and good people support this person? And yet half the country does.
Yeah.
And that half the country, I hope a lot are watching the show and will weigh in. But that speaks to the divisiveness and the separation, that it's fundamentally two very different mindsets. So I have a family member who is pro-Trump. And in our discussion, the ethics or the humanity, it was about the policies and the protection and doing what's right for America. It was kind of platitudes that were rooted in fear. Mm-hmm. So I think what's happening is a lot of people buy into that fear energy and don't label it as fear energy. It's protectionism, it's nationalism, it's disguises strength. It's weakness disguised as strength in a very slippery way. Mm-hmm. Kind of a less extreme version of what happened in Germany in the late 1930s and the 1940s, where the economy was going south. Hitler comes in and says, we need to fix this, and it's all these people's fault. It's the Jews, it's the gypsies, it's the non-Aryans. And had a lot of support for that, even among people who thought who just disdained his policies and ways, that there was this connection on a level of, well, he'll He'll bring us good. He'll fix these problems that have been created by politicians. And I think of how Eckhart Tolle, who wrote The Power of Now and The New Earth, talks about the pain body as this entity, and we feed it with our thoughts, and it becomes it takes on its own energy. So I think that's what's happened, is we have this unhappiness with how things have been going in our country. Mm-hmm. We have someone comes in who's a fearmonger, who says, I can fix this. Let's divide. Let's hate these people. Let's push these people out. And it feeds this fear, and the fear becomes somehow compelling in this, and the pain body it creates grows and grows and wants to be fed. So how to feed it? Have another 4 years.
Yeah, I kind of reached a point, I think it was about a week ago, where I felt like I had reached a place where I recognized that in the bigger picture, and let me take a step back, because the things that I've been attempting to do is, if you focus, the more you focus, the worse it feels to me. So that to me means step back. That means go bigger. That means take a bigger perspective, that this whole drama is not specific about the United States. It's not specific about Colorado. It's not specific about Lakewood. It's general to all of it. But I think I've mentioned this, that I'm in a group that I do once a week, and that group is populated by people from all over the world, New Zealand, Australia, and England, and France. And we all, in the context of starting our thought storms, we find that we all are having the same experience. When I listen to them talk, they're having the same issues with their government. They're having the same issues with their climate change. They're having the same issues with all of the same things we're having issues with. And that seems to be the only place to go to find a space of love to hold it all, if that makes sense. Meaning, yeah, if you focus on what's not good or what doesn't feel good or what isn't right, it's going to amplify that energy. It's going to expand that energy, and it's going to feel worse, and it's going to feel uglier, and it's going to feel more icky. But as you back away from it, as you step back and push it back a little bit, you get a better perspective and you get a better engagement, because I'm not there, meaning I don't live there. I don't live in that world. I don't typically participate in that world in a grand scheme. But this administration, these people have generated, particularly Trump, have generated that kind of frenzy in the experience that makes it very challenging to step back, to get back and get a greater perspective. And I was thinking as you were talking, Moshe, wow, this is a challenge, because I know the answer here is love. I know the answer here is finding a better space. And I don't know how I'm going to participate in any of this if I participate in it. I don't know what my next step is, except what I'm doing. And if I'm informed to do something else or in some way inspired, then I'll be there. But that I'm allowing that energy to have an impact in my daily life in a way that's causing me to question who I am disturbs me.
Yes.
Disturbs me deeply, because I feel good about who I am, but I don't feel good about how I feel about this. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it shows the extent of the energy being stirred up, where it gets you to question who you are and how you are. You.
Yeah. And is there a point? You know what I mean? For me, like, is there like, wow. If we've chosen as a society, we've chosen, if we have chosen 4 more years of the current administration, to me, all that says is we haven't tipped the scale yet.
Yeah.
We haven't built enough energy of love and compassion and that desire for positive or creating a positive. No, that's not quite right either. But the connection to the love and the connection to a greater experience, because again, that means I'm judging that what's happening is not part of that greater experience.
Well, also it means, and I hear this in what you said and what I said, and what I feel is, we are judging Trump. We are judging Trump supporters, even as we strive to understand without judgment. If it feels so antithetical, how it's hard to not judge. So that's the invitation in front of us, is to not judge. And some of our most masterful beings were able to even love the people that they most opposed.
Yeah.
Who had totally different points of view. So can we find love for Trump?
Good question, and one that we will address on the other side of the break. Yes. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, actually, you're going to get to visit with Moshe for a minute, if he's prepared for that. I know today was a little rough, so are you ready for your 3 minutes? Are you
I'm ready?
Okay. Yeah. We're going to. I'm going to go to break. We're going to. I'm going to chat with you guys for a quick sec. We're going to have a commercial. We'll come back with Moshe, and then we'll get back. We'll be back to the show here in just a moment. So we'll be back with you in just a sec, guys. Hey guys, Jim Case here again. Look, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. We so appreciate you out there. I so appreciate all the people that are watching in India and Europe and around the country and around the world. All of you that are participating with Adventures in Truth, that are engaged in changing the fear experience in your life, that are engaged in transforming your experience. Head over to our Facebook pages. We have Adventures in Truth Facebook page. You can like us, you can share us, you can follow us. And we'd love to be able to extend this message out into the world even further. And I appreciate your support. I appreciate you joining us each week. Our shows are Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. And that's Mountain Standard Time, and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. for Adventures in Truth. So thank you again for being here. We appreciate you. And we'll be back right after the break. Alrighty, and we're back, and we're going to give a few minutes to Moshe here to talk about all the great things going on in the Amari Wave world. Take it away, Moshe.
All right. So Jim mentioned at the outset, I wrote this book, The Amari Wave, Uplifting Business by Putting Love to Work. And it's very consistent with the conversation we're having and grounded in the reality of, in business, which is the domain of this book, we need to do well. We need to make money. We need to support our employees, we need to have customers, and so on. And that brings up the issue, is one of the most paradoxical issues that I found in writing this book. It was about being attached. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, that I've learned that being attached to outcomes has some real downsides to it, but it's really tough to avoid, especially in our culture. So this doesn't mean that performance doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that goals don't matter. It doesn't mean that outcomes don't matter. They do. In business, for sure, it's very clear. Like with this elections, the outcome matters. The key is to care about the outcomes and strive for the outcomes, but without being attached to the outcomes. And why is that important? There's three things that happen when we become attached to outcomes. One is the results aren't as good. Why? Because instead of focusing on the work, we're focusing on the results. It's like taking a golf swing when we're thinking about the last putt that we missed. Your swing won't be as good. You're not fully present. So it's about doing the work. And so with this election, all we can do is we do the work, we make our voices heard, we make our choices, we do the work, and we strive to not be attached to the outcome. Again, as difficult as that may be. Second is the emotional cost. Generally, when we're attached to outcomes, we feel distressed. It's like we're wrapped up in that outcome. And all we can do is do our work. And there's all kinds of factors that, as we're seeing this election, all kinds of things affect the outcome, well beyond what any of us individually can do. And third is the idea of self-definition. Jim, this is what you were talking about earlier, that we get ourselves, our self-worth, our sense of who we are mixed up with the outcome. I'm only a good person if I achieve X, if I win this business deal, if I accomplish this, if I do that. So we conflate ourselves with the outcome, and then that's only good till the next project and the next outcome. So bottom line, in this work of being love-centered that Jim advocates, that I advocate in my coaching and business consulting and my book, The Amari Wave, it's about not being attached to outcomes. And there's a lot of tips for how to do that. So I encourage you to practice that now. While we still don't know the results of the presidential election, at least as of an hour ago, is to practice being unattached to the outcomes. Care, aspire, do what you can without being attached and losing yourself in it.
That was good. That was good. You were prepared. I like that. Looks like you've been doing this for a minute. So we're going to carry on. Welcome back again, guys. And our carry on here, Lauren has another statement that I want to bring up because I think it's valuable to what we're talking about here. So he says, the more important question for me is why are so many of this country only point to the president? What about the millions of supporters of either candidate? Hitler did not murder millions of Jews by his lonesome, yet it is his name always deemed responsible for the Holocaust. It took thousands of people to pull this atrocity off. Excellent point. And I think it speaks to actually a number of things. And I'm glad you brought this up, Lauren, because it is, sorry, I'm pushing my buttons and trying to get back to where I want to be. And it always gets me crazy. So to Lauren's point here, that's, I think, the source for me of the dilemma is the number of people that are willing to go there. And I agree with you. It isn't about one person, but it is about the focus that we put on that one person. And maybe that's where our issue is. And maybe that's what we have to think about going forward. You know, if you think about what's been happening, especially coming up to the election and all the norm busting that has been going on. And even for myself, I recognize distress at the busting of the norms and going, interesting. I guess being on the planet for 56 years, you get used to things being a certain way.
Yeah.
So when they get messed with, it's kind of uncomfortable. It's kind of a, I don't know how the divisiveness is going to change because of, to Lauren's point, it wasn't one person who created the outcome. It was multitudes of thousands of people or millions of people who created that outcome because they all participated in the same consciousness that created monumental change on the planet. Not necessarily positive change, but change. And again, you come back to, was it positive change? Was it negative change? It was part of the evolution of our experience for sure, because it opened our eyes to things that we hadn't paid attention to very well before. So what are we going to do now? How are we going to pay attention differently? How are we, all of us who are out here kind of questioning, what are we going to do next? How are we going to step into this, this new paradigm, whatever it is? Because whatever it is going to be fraught with divisiveness for a while.
And Jim, I want to speak to the first question you have about what are you hoping to create?
Yeah.
Any act of creation requires space. And I think of in Hinduism, there's a lot of deities. We may have talked about this before. And one of them, one of the primary ones is a god of destruction, often known as Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about Shiva energies, that destructive energy, and it's not a bad thing. So in some cultures, there's more of an acceptance of destruction and destroying as natural, as part of the natural course. And it's necessary to make space for new creation. So one way to step back and look at where we are at as a country and as a planet is if the current administration continues, it means that there is a need for more destruction.
Yes.
And it's easy to criticize that and say, that's awful. Why isn't 4 years enough? It's been terrible. But from a more grand perspective of centuries, 4 years, 8 years, not a big deal. That's a second.
And it also, to what we were talking about earlier, it also speaks to the balance, the tipping point, you know, in every major place where humanity has excelled or has taken a giant leap, the Industrial Revolution, the technical revolutions, it was a tipping point where a large group, it wasn't even a large group, I think originally, they were saying the Renaissance was 1,000 people that began that shift in consciousness. As I was saying before, to me, it came down to, wow, we all of us collectively are in this place where there's still virtually half of who we are that still think that energy is acceptable, that presentation is acceptable, that energy, that vibration, we have not decided that love is more important. And I want to reference another powerful documentary I saw recently, David Attenborough's documentary, A Life on the Planet, paints a very powerful picture of what we collectively, the human people, have done and are doing to our planet. And the very limited time that we have, it was one of the things that struck me the strongest, because this documentary was about, he chronicled the evolution of the planet with the evolution of his life. He's 93 years old. And so he went decade by decade to show the difference that in 1960, when he first started doing his thing, 66% of the planet was still wild. In 2000, now at 93 years old, almost 20% is left wild. 20% of our planet is what's left. That means the trees, the animals, the things, nature that hold things in balance. We have rutted this planet unmercifully. And the bigger picture here is, what do I want to create? Well, we obviously don't believe enough in what we want to see different on our planet, that the idea of consumption and continuing to destroy what we have is still in play. And apparently we don't feel enough about that yet to change that. There are many who do. I'm not saying that it's limited to. There's another half of us that feel very passionately about it. Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? Well, yeah, because I still choose love. I want the solution. I don't want an outcome. I want a solution to this. I want us to step into this in a way that we've never stepped before, positively. Sorry, you were going to jump in, and I kind of derailed there because I wanted to share about that.
That's okay. That was so long ago, I don't even remember what I was saying. But I do want to say I outlined a new book based on something I read in a phenomenal book called Conversations with God. I mentioned that to you a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And the sentence and the working title of this new book is called What Would Love Do Now? And what if that was our decision guide? And I define love simply as energy that uplifts and connects. So the question for leaders, whether it's us leading our own lives or leading companies or leading nations, is what would love do now? And that is the basis for making decisions. Imagine how that would change our world.
Yeah, WWLD. The new paradigm for 2020 and beyond. What would love do? Which I think ultimately, it's funny because I always think, "What would Jesus do?" is a very popular bumper sticker and things. But it's a nice evolution of that thought process to not personalize it, but to say, what would love do here?
Yep.
How would love interact in this event? And that's really what I think Life Beyond the Event is about. You know, we started at the beginning of this show, being honest about feeling, being honest about what's going on, but understand that those feelings are, as I've talked about over and over and over again, objects in the field of my awareness that I get a choice of how I interact with them. I choose to use this venue to interact with them because I want to share the transparency of the human experience in a way that y'all get it, that it's a choice. It's a choice every single time. And yes, the circumstances appear strained and dire and intense, and things feel uncomfortable and frustrating and all kinds of different feelings. We can experience all of that without engaging it in a way that stimulates more momentum in that energy, if that makes sense. Because as soon as I put my focus there, as soon as I let my energy go there, I have engaged a consciousness that I don't want to participate with in that fashion. So it's important that I be conscious of that so that I can disengage, look at my response, and decide how I want to move forward differently, in power, in love. What would love do in this? Love would not fight. Love would not battle. Love would not degrade. Love would not attack. So anywhere in my consciousness, and it's tough now because it's everywhere. Everybody has that, you know, I'm saying everybody colloquially, you know what I mean? Everybody's having that confluence of confusing experiences. And what Moshe and I are here in this conversation today is to say there is life beyond the event, and that life doesn't have to be anything less or diminished from what you desire and envision it to be. You just have to incorporate what's happening around you in a way that isn't taking you down the rabbit hole, as it were.
And the good news is we all know how to do this, to go beyond the event, because we've done it countless times in our lives for little things like someone's totally focused on the Super Bowl, and that's all they're talking about. And yeah. I asked most people who won the Super Bowl in 2012. Most people would have no recollection. Yet at the time, it seemed like the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens with planning a wedding or starting school or a first day of a job or whatever it is.
Right.
So we have practice at getting caught up in an event and being able to go beyond it.
Yep. And that brings us to our sort of our final spot here, which is about moving forward constructively instead of destructively. I am acutely aware of, you know, and I stopped myself in our conversation because I felt that escalation of energy earlier in the conversation. I was spinning, and that spin was like, and it's like a generator, because the more I think and feel, the more it stimulates. Yes, that's what I got to say that too. And I got to talk about that too. And really I don't. right. I do, because we're in this dynamic and I want to be transparent, but ultimately I still want to be very conscious about what I say and how I present it and what I talk about, not from, because I think that, well, it's more about, I run into a wall, you know, like when I start getting there and then I start talking about Trump and I talk about his inhumanity or I talk about the things that I see, I don't live in his body. I don't live in his life. I don't live in his world. I can only assess based on what's presented and what it feels like. But I don't have to engage it at that level. I can simply observe it and create a space of love, which I still do every day in meditation. I still put that love out into the world, and I consciously engage. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. May all of us, so that we can engage love in the greatest possible way. So Moshe, I'll let you have a minute to anything you'd like to say in the close of this topic before I bring us home today.
I think what we have in front of us right now today and in these days of not knowing is an opportunity to engage in fear or engage in love. And the contrast between those two fundamental states is so clear. Yeah. And you're right, to your book title is Fear is a Choice. It is a choice, and so is love. And we don't have to have it every second, but I want everyone listening and watching to know every moment you can choose. And the next moment you can choose again.
Yes.
That's the opportunity in front of us. So,
and sometimes that's how it works. Sometimes the stuff is overwhelming and all you can do is left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, until you reach a point of clarity, a point of deeper understanding that creates more distance. But until that time, left foot, breathe, love, right foot, breathe, love, and attempt, you know, walk that path as best as you can and try to stay out of the minutia. I can tell you from my own experience, when I would turn on to see where things were at, if I stayed a minute too long, I could feel it. Because as soon as they got into the minutia of every county and every this and every that, and I started to see the manipulation of the process, and I'm like, ugh, and it immediately you go there and you're like, no, off. I have to turn it off.
It requires stepping away. And again, we have practice at this. If I think of people, I remember doing a project with MD Anderson Cancer Center and talking with a lot of cancer patients and cancer and oncologists, cancer doctors, so imagine having, like in your life, you had a diagnosis of cancer and mm-hmm. who knew what the future would be? So you had to walk through uncertainty day after day after day. And so hold on to the hope that you'll be okay and not know. So we all we live our lives with great uncertainty. We pretend it's not there. In this uncertainty is our moment to make a choice.
Yeah. And nothing out there is going to soothe in here. So, and that's the thing I think ultimately at the end of the day, nothing out there is going to soothe anything in here. And I think that the world at large right now, with pandemics, with elections, with divisiveness, with climate change, all of those things are forcing us to go inside and find that love, find that connected space that allows us to come together. Because, you know, ultimately, and this is one of those things that's always kind of annoyed me in consciousness, is that, you know, that idea that we're all one, you know, like we're 7.5 billion unique sparks of God showing up on this planet to bring that light forward. I want all of us to bring that light forward in a way that creates positive forward moving change. And I want to be a part of whatever that is. I feel like I try to do that every week with this show. I've done that with my book, is about being out there. However you are out there, I don't have to be political. I don't have to be a political person. I can be a human being that wants to see love in my environment. And so that's what I encourage you each to do, is find that for yourself. Allow this time not to be distracted by all of that, but how am I going to create the change that's going to change the world? Because the world will change when you change, not the other way around. So have a wonderful day, guys. Thank you for being a part of this tough conversation. Thank you for being a part of the dialogue that we have every week and going on these adventures with us to explore what's going on. You know, I appreciate having this opportunity to be with you all and to share what's going on for me. Because I'm a human just like the rest of us. And while I may have different perceptions and different experiences, in the end, we're all in this experience together. And I want to bring my unique spark, and I want you and 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 you to bring yours. And let's see what we can create with that.
Amen.
Amen. So y'all have an amazing day. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for being here. www.adventuresintruth.com. You can go to the website. You can find out about my book. You can also find out about working with me if you're interested. I have a wonderful program called The Science of Transformation, which is all part of this same brand that you see before you, being able to help people shift out of a fear-based consciousness to an opportunity-based consciousness. And is an incredible process and has powerful ramifications in every individual's life. But you can find out more information there and contact me. We can do a consult, and I'd love to talk to you about it. So until next time, find your love. What would love do? What would love do in your day? What would love do in this minute for you? I hope you have an amazing one, and we'll see you on Friday. And I think that's it. I think I can stop talking now. Have a great day, guys. Moshe, I'll see you on the other side.
Take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.